Is it on? Yep. Okay. Back this in there. Hearing aid goes in here because I can't have three things on my ear at one time. Who did the song picking today? Drew, that one song that you did, I whispered to Mars, summed up my sermon. So, you probably were tuned more than me. I want to start with a question. The word conviction, what does it mean to be convicted of something in your walk with God? What does that mean? You got 3 seconds, or I'm going to have Jeff answer for us because he always has good answers. What does it mean, Jeff, to be convicted of something? Why does he do that? Because he loves us, maybe? That's good. Good answer, Jeff. I told him ahead of time, you always have good answers, so I'm going to probably call on you. Well, the question is this. I was convicted about something in my walk with God this week. I have to be careful not to put my convictions on everybody else. On the other hand, maybe by sharing my conviction, you'll say, hey, might be my conviction too. So if the shoe fits, put it on. If not, maybe put it on anyway. But anyway, my conviction this week was this. How I should strive to do a better job at giving recognition to God about the things in my life, sharing that with other people. You see why that feels right? Your songs went right along with that, Drew. You didn't know that either. You and Jeff, pretty amazing guys. But how can I strive to do better at giving recognition to God for the things in my life, both physically showing and verbally showing, sharing those things with people? I'm going to start with having several verses I'm going to read to you, and then we'll go into some more of the teaching part. The first one's Matthew chapter 7, if you want to follow along. Matthew 7, I'm going to read verses 5 and 6. And 7. No, Matthew 4. You know why I knew it was Matthew 4? Because Matthew 7 wasn't the right verses. Pretty smart, huh? Matthew 4, verses 5 through 7. It's Matthew. Matthew 7. It is Matthew 7, but it's verses 13 through 24. I better check before I start reading them. I think I got it figured out this time. So I got these two scriptures in Matthew 7 and several from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 5. And when I read them, this is what I'm hoping you'll do. Say, God, how do these verses have anything to do with my life? How should I apply those verses to my life? And that's what I was trying to do when I was reading them this week. So Matthew 7, verses 13 through 24. This is Jesus speaking. And he says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. I take that means that Jesus is saying most people are going to end up living a life of destruction. But you don't have to do that. Verse 14, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. There are few who find it. Few who find it. I'm praying every one of us find it. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Isn't that interesting? We're known by our fruits, what we produce with our lives. Grapes are not gathered from thorns or figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad trees bear bad fruit. Good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And again here, so you will know them by their fruits. So when people look at our lives, if we're living our life for God, it's going to stand out. It's going to become obvious to everybody around us what kind of life we're living. Are we bearing good fruit? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who will do, who does the will of the Father, who is in heaven, will enter. Many will say to me on one day, that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons? And did we not in your name perform many miracles? And I will declare to them, I never even knew you, never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, what was Jesus trying to say there? He was saying, if you don't have an intimate relationship with me, I'm not even gonna be able to know you. And furthermore, he equates not having a good growing relationship, healthy relationship with God, as something like lawlessness. 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who builds his house on a rock. So we have to find out what God wants. We have to act on him. And it has to revolve out of a relationship with God. Now, there's a couple other verses here. We're going to read from 2 Corinthians, and maybe I'll even get these right, chapter 4 and chapter 5. Chapter 4, I'm going to read 3 verses, and 5, 6, and 7, and 7. Thank you, Marcella, for sharing that verse with me, because it fit right in. Verse 5, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus. You ever run into somebody that's preaching themselves? But we're not supposed to be doing that. We're supposed to be preaching Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as his bondservants for Christ Jesus' sake. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts and gives the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not of ourselves. So we have something very special inside of us for a Christian. But it's nothing of ourselves. It's what God put in there. It's the Spirit living in there. And that's what we need to be lifting up and glorifying and recognizing Him in our lives. The next chapter, we're going to skip down to verses 9 and 10. Chapter 5, 9 and 10. Therefore, we also have as our ambition. What does it mean to have an ambition? What's that word mean? What's that, Jeff? Desire to do something. And I guess you can have several ambitions, but this is the big one, right? Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, that means whether we're here or in heaven, to be pleasing to Him, to be pleasing to God. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what they have done, be it good or bad. So I'm going to be judged on what I did with my life, be it good or bad. And hopefully I'm doing this as my ambition to see God recognized more than anything I could ever do. And we're going to skip down to verse 14. All the way to 14. This is a pretty interesting verse. For the love of Christ controls us. Now, what kind of mental picture do you get there? God's Spirit inside of us controlling us. Now, do we allow that? Probably sometimes, maybe sometimes not, but that's our goal. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, so that they may live, who live might no longer live for themselves. Isn't that an interesting thought? Jesus died for me so that no longer I have to be in that messed up, disillusioned life of living for myself. And now I have the opportunity to live for God. Might not live longer for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on our behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him that way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, you have new ambitions. You have new goals. You have new priorities in your life. New things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? What do you think that would look like? What's this ministry of reconciliation God wants us to have? Any quick answers? That means I'm responsible to make sure Patrick is growing in his walk with God. Okay? Reconciled to God. It's not a hard thing, But it is a decision thing for everybody, for every one of us to do that. Through him and Christ gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling us to himself, not counting our transgressions against us. He forgives our sin, that he committed for us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Who are you supposed to be an ambassador to, Drew? For who? Yeah. What does an ambassador do? It kind of represents something bigger than yourself. And that's what our job is, to be an ambassador for Jesus, to represent him to other people. You see where I'm going with this thought of striving towards being better at giving recognition to God in our daily lives. That's what we're called to do, every one of us. Now, how many here do that perfectly? At least one day a year? Nobody does it perfectly, but that's to be our goal, is to be our striving to do that for God, because that's what he's called us to do. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. Isn't that interesting looking at it? You're appealing to these people. You need to give God a try. You need to get serious about this thing. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now, what kind of fruit are we producing? Each of us as an individual. Because that's what we're going to be judged on. Now, anybody ever hear that this summer it's going to be 250 years as a country? Anybody hear that on the news? It's a joke. Talk about it all the time. That's all right. Who was the guy that signed the Declaration of Independence with big, bold letters right in the middle so everybody could see it? Pardon? Yes, Mr. Hancock, John Hancock. Why do you think he did that? Bigger than anybody else, right in the middle, so it couldn't be missed. Why do you think he did that? Because he was a candidate for being a martyr? He wasn't a martyr, but some were. Why do you think he did that? Had to be some reason. I know you can't say for sure, but what's your best guess? Autumn Rose. That's perfect. Yeah. He wanted to make a statement. And other people made a statement, but he wanted to be the loudest, the big mouth, in a good way. You know how many guys signed the Declaration of Independence? You can find out just how I found out last night, in the middle of the night, by going to Bing. Thank you, guys. And if you go to Bing, you find out that 56 signed the Declaration of Independence. I should be able to remember that the rest of my life. That was the year I was born in, January 56. You know, out of those 56, 9 of them were killed or murdered before the war ever ended. Yeah. And not only were they killed or murdered before the war ended, that also didn't include the wives, that they were thrown in prison. We can't get this guy. We'll get him by going after his wife and kill her. Or the kids. Some of these guys never seen their wives or kids after they signed that. What a commitment and ambition. And if they have that kind of ambition for a country, which I'm so glad they did, you know, a good part of them were pastors or lay speakers that signed the Declaration of Independence. Not just a few, a good number of them. But if they had that kind of commitment for the country, how much more so should we have that commitment for God and His purposes? Now, my opinion, they were intertwined. But still, we're not fighting for our country, but we should be fighting for God's recognition in our lives. Most of the people that did live, they died of paupers. You know, where you lose all your money. Is that the right word, pauper? I better just move on there. They took everything away. They burned their houses down, their fields down, their barns down. They took their wives, their kids. This is what they paid the cost to sign that Declaration of Independence. And then this John Hancock had the audacity to sign it real big. It's amazing. He wasn't one of those nine. He actually lived. It's one thing to sign your name on something. It's another thing to be willing to pay for it with your life. Understand what I'm saying? How about God? How does that fit into our relationship and walk with God? Have your life, or live your life in such a way that your life will demonstrate to others and God how important He is to us. All of my emails I send, and I do that more because I can't do physical work that much anymore, but I can send encouraging emails or letters and a call. I was complimenting Beverly. I talked to John Redco, our homeless guy out in California. And I mentioned to him, you know, Beverly prays for you on a regular basis. And he said, that is so amazing and encouraging to me. You can make that much of a difference in somebody's life. And so when I sign a card or a letter or an email, almost always, I don't always do this with my kids or my wife, because I just tell them how much I love them. But I usually sign it, your brother in Jesus. Yes. Now, why do I do that? Because I want to give recognition to who I belong to. And I've thought about this. What makes you think everybody you write an email to or a letter is even a brother or sister in Christ? I'm guessing quite a few of them aren't. But this is how I would end that. They aren't yet. Get it? Because it's my desire that those people I have contacts with is to lead them to Jesus. And it might take a long time. It doesn't matter. I'll give it my best shot. And if they're still holding on when I'm gone, God will lay them on somebody else's heart. Early on in my walk with God, I was curious. Maybe some of you have ever done this. I was curious what my name Jess means, Jesse. Did anybody ever look up their name? And some of that's pretty interesting. You know what my name Jesse means? God exists. And that's what I've given my life to do. And I guess for my encouragement for you, find out what your name means and make sure you're living up to that. You can't do it on your own, and you will never do it perfectly, but God has a job for all of us. And if they're not there yet, don't give up. By saying that, I'm proclaiming it. You see, every email I write and your brother in Jesus, every time I say that, I'm proclaiming something about the goodness of God. I get a lot of other pastors, right? And some of them ministry people. And some of these pastors are pretty well known, and it irks me when they finish their sentence, their line or email, they say, "Sincerely, Joe and George," or something. And there's been a couple I say back, "What's this sincerely about, buddy? Why don't you say something about God?" And I'm not trying to be smart. There's something more important than being sincere. Well, you can be sincere, but make sure it's sincerely, mostly on top of the list by God. Both in our actions and our words. Now, for some of you, maybe you felt some conviction from my words today, just like I felt conviction from God's words this week in my life, that I need to strive to do a better job of giving God more recognition in the things I talk about, in the things I say. Does that make sense? If there's anybody that feels that conviction along with me, I just encourage you to come up and stand here with me, because I'm going to have some people pray for me. And if you're standing up here, it's going to rub off on you. Know what I'm saying? So if you feel that conviction that I need to do a little better job of giving God more recognition in my life, I just encourage you to come up. And I'm not going to beg you, and I'm not going to even say it any more times. But if you want to come up and stand with me, you can. Now, how many here believe that God answers prayer? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I seen that, Daniel. Huh? Oh, right behind me. He believes too. Now, we're going to pray. Some of you are going to pray. Some of you are going to pray. Not real long prayers, but just short, precise prayers that God will convict us about being more serious about striving to lift up God in our lives. Okay? That's what we're praying about. And if we believe that God answers prayers, guess what else we have to believe? It's going to happen to every one of us. I mean, that's what we're asking for. And people are going to pray for us. Maybe some of you, maybe some of them. It doesn't matter. But we have to trust that God is going to answer that prayer and change our priorities, maybe, change our attitudes, maybe, that it becomes so much ingrained in us to bring up God and His goodness in our conversations. Daryl, you have a friend coming that I know for lunch after today. You better make sure you bring up the goodness of God in your life to Tony. You say, "Well, he's a Christian." You know, Christians could need some encouragement too. Yes. So that's what you do. I know you had some neighbors surprise you yesterday when I dropped you off. And guess what they did? They invited their friends to come down and find out about Jesus at the church. So, I mean, That's what God wants us to do. We're ambassadors calling them to make a difference for them. I think that's it, other than the praying. So we're just going to spend, look at that, it's 12 after. We could spend another 7-8 minutes praying, and I still won't even be late, right? So you're going to pray for us that God would help us to do a better job, strive to do a better job at giving recognition for God in our lives. Yeah. No. You know how to turn that on? Number one, you don't drop it. Number two, you do this till the light comes on. And then number three, you can hand it to people. Yeah, okay. You wait for somebody to raise their hand out back there or here, and then you're going to be the walker for us, right? You're not the Texas walker. You're the Pennsylvania walker today, okay? So God, this is what we're praying about. We want you to have more control in our lives. And some of us, probably all of us in some ways, we're tired of trying to just live for ourselves. We're to live as your ambassadors. And we need your help to do a better job. I need your help to do a better job. I've been at this for over half a century, and I'd still be the first to admit I still could do better, but only with you, God, with your help. And that's what every one of us, I think, is calling for right now, for that help. So as we spend some time praying, we trust that you're going to hear these prayers and you're going to respond to those prayers. And you're going to change us from the inside out, making us a better ambassador for you. Amen. So if you want to share, anybody up here, back there, the mic man will take you.
Lord, I just thank you for this day, and I just pray that you just work in all of our hearts, God. Remove the things that we keep from recognizing you, the things that come in our lives, and just stop us from seeing you for who you are and for giving you that glory. And I just pray that you just work in all of our hearts, that you make us just have that desire and that conviction to give you recognition and point that recognition back to you in our conversations with others, Lord, and that people know just that we're Christians and that we love you, one, by how we act, but two, just that we go up and we tell them about it, God, and convict us when we don't do that, Lord. It's something that none of us do enough, God, and just change our hearts on that, Lord, that we do that not because we're scared or feel like we have to, Lord, but out of respect and a love for you, God. Let's pray that you work and just everyone standing up and everyone sitting down to do that. Amen.
God, just help us to have an attitude of thankfulness towards you, Lord God, for all that you do to us. And help us to bring you into everyday conversation with the people that we meet and are in contact with in our daily lives. Just help us to bring glory and honor to you and to tell the people of your goodness towards us. It's all about you, Lord God, and we just give thanks to you.
Me up here, you were going to go because I was going to tell you to go before you left. So you're just getting it out of the way.
Lord, first I just want to thank you so much for being a part of this family and just being strengthened and encouraged by each and every person here. I thank you so much that you have drawn us together. And I just want to mimic what's already been prayed, Lord, that let our eyes see your goodness every day and every moment of every day, that we're not so wrapped up in ourselves that we miss seeing how awesome you are, how good and faithful you are. And Lord, I ask then that our sharing with others would be a natural thing because we are excited about you. That it's not a put-on thing, but it's in our hearts, and we are just simply excited about your goodness, your faithfulness, your kindness, your compassion, your correction, everything that is about you, Lord. Let that be what we want to exclaim to others. In Jesus' name.
Father, I just thank you. And I lift everybody up that's in this building right now, Father. We all miss it at times. We miss opportunities to magnify your name, to lift you up before others. And Lord, I just ask that you would help each of us to strive daily to share with one person or many people the gift you have given us of salvation in your goodness. Lord, it is you who gets us out of bed in the morning. It is you who gets us through the day, and everything that we do is because of you. We can do nothing apart from you. And you do deserve all the glory, the honor, and the praise. So majestic. And all these things, even in the little things, Lord, we should be glorifying you. So, Lord, I just ask the Father that as we do go from this four walls of this church, Father, that you would bring conviction upon us in every moment that we have to share with others your goodness. You're so good to us. So good to us. You love us so much. And I thank you so much for what Jesus has done for us. You're such a good God. And I don't know what anybody who's living for you wouldn't want to share your goodness. Lord, just let us go forward from this day forward and seek out those moments. Ask you to open doors and bring people into our lives so that we can share the good news with them. And give us a holy boldness, Father. We thank you for your daily grace, Father, that grace that sustains us and keeps us. I just thank you for loving all of us, even when we miss it. In Jesus' name, amen.
About one or two more up here.
Father God, I pray that you continue to keep us focused on you. You are the root of our vine, and we want to be the bearer of good fruit. We don't want to be the fruit that rots on the vine. And I ask you to continue to watch over Pastor Jess. He is our vine. He is our inspiration. And he has inspired many of us here to deepen our lives with Christ and to become better Christians. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear Lord, help us to be bold as Peter was after the first Pentecost, after the resurrection, Lord, and not so much like he was when Jesus was going to be hung on the cross, Lord. We fall down. Peter fell down. But then he was amazing afterwards. He found his strength again. Lord, help us to find a strength to repay you for what you did for us on the cross, Lord, to take away all of our sin. And thank you so much, Lord. Help us pass on the good news. The harvest is great and the workers are few, Lord. Thank you.
God, what a privilege it is to realize you heard every one of those prayers. And they were all from our hearts. And we have no reason to doubt that you're not going to do those things, those good things in us as individuals. I had a word come to mind, and maybe it'll be a sermon sometimes. You could do this for homework. You could go to Bing. You could go to God. That even outtop Bing. But anyway, the thought was, what is an armor bearer? What is an armor bearer from a biblical perspective? Because armor bearers had a very important job to do. And they protected, but they also picked up a sword when somebody was killed and used the sword to do some fighting with too. So what is an armor bearer? And I think if we would take some time to look at that this week, it would encourage every one of us. Okay? Any one last word? Okay. Thanks for coming. In Jesus' name, amen.